What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Wednesday morning. Well, it's either the calm after the storm or the calm before the storm, or it's the calm before a championship in the next, you know, month or so. Look, the bottom line is we're in a fascinating time in Philadelphia sports right now. We're going to talk about it today. The Phils crank it up on Saturday. Now, obviously, we're in a waiting mode there, keeping our eye on the baseball playoffs that started yesterday. The Eagles are now in a bye week, but they are trying to clean up, and we are deep in discussing the mess that has been the start of this season. All of it is there for you today to discuss at 215-592-9494. Not to mention that, you know, the Sixers have started training camp, and the Flyers are getting close to the start of their season. So a lot happening. All of it with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
A regular pencil can write 45,000 words.
Before it runs out?
Yes, well, before it disappears.
That's what I mean.
Because a regular pencil, you sharpen it.
That's what I mean.
It goes away.
I know it's not ink. I get it.
Yeah, in 2007, Discover Magazine, they actually tested this.
And that's a pretty cool fact.
Yeah, 45,000 words.
That's a pretty cool fact. All right, I like that. I like that one a lot.
But no one seemed, like, how often do you see a real pencil?
Well, no
well,
one.
How often
it's always a mechanical
pencil.
Hold
on to a pencil long enough to actually use all of it, right? Like chapstick.
Probably not since. I don't think I've done that since like sixth grade.
Yeah, when Sister Bernard made us write, you know, we will stop speaking in class.
Rhea, I don't think I've held a pencil in 20 years.
I have.
Well, other than at a golf
course. I got one.
Yeah, kids still use
I got
them.
Pencils recently sure. just for this reason, real pencils, but I keep losing them. And it's hard to find sharpeners in today's world.
Well, I'm sure.
So you got to carry a sharpener with you everywhere all the time. That's not cool either.
You got a pocket protector also, John? All right. Let's crank this up here today. So first off, Seltzer, are you starting to feel the Phillies postseason thing more?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay,
the playoffs started. I was feeling it on Monday. Honestly, watching Braves-Mets on Monday, I was locked in, ready to roll. It's baseball playoffs.
Right?
Nothing else matters to me right now, honestly. Like, I'm ready to roll.
Like, I don't want to say the Eagles don't matter because that's totally inaccurate, but if the Phillies give us a special month,
they're going to matter a lot less.
It'll trump
for a month.
Yeah,
we'll come right back. We'll be ready, but like, so just is what it is. Like, we're going for a freaking title
but
here,
Jimmy,
man.
That's right. Are you so titillated by baseball
nice
that
use
you're
of titillated.
Staying up? Thank you. That you're staying up and watching other teams in other cities in these games that are occurring now?
Well, you got to watch.
Well,
I
mean, Mets Brewers I watch. I didn't stay up for Padres Braves, but I would have liked to, but I have to draw the line somewhere.
can I translate this? I'd like to watch a little bit more of the playoffs than I did yesterday, but Seltzer's got his Brandon Nimmo Dorkazoid mode on right now, all right? It's, you know, 14 hours of baseball is not enough for him. All right, so the whole Phillies thing on the table. By the way, we're going to pose some poll questions to you today that are very important topics for the Phillies. Rob Thompson, Dave Dombrowski, I think Rob Thompson ultimately makes the game decisions, to make decisions on for the construction of the lineup, and who plays certain days and versus lefties and righties. There really are some fascinating things, like who should start at second base against the lefty, Stott or Sosa? Who should start in left? Who should start in center? Who should be the second starter, pitching-wise? All right, we're going to get to all of that because there really are some huge decisions to make, and we'll put those things into a poll. Let's also get to the Eagles. So they're now, you know, in their bunker of self-evaluation. Let's be in ours isn't a bunker, it's WIP. Let's get into our zone of evaluation of the Eagles with the bye week. And I'm going to ask this very open-ended question, really to kind of crank things up here today. What do you think we have this year with the Birds? What do we got? And don't tell me 2-2, all right? We all know we got 2-2. Like, what do we really have? And here's what I mean. And John, I'll just pose these series of questions to you. Do you feel hope? Do you not? What do you believe is improvable? What do you believe is really not improvable? Like, what is, it is what it is, because they're just not good enough here, here, and here. And then let's just throw the whole playoffs thing in. We had a poll question yesterday, are the Eagles going to make the playoffs? And for the first time, you know, I mean, obviously we had these kind of questions in the offseason, but not much because there was a general assumption they would. For the first time, certainly this year, you know, it was clear that the poll tilted toward no. Most people think they won't make the playoffs. So, John, I ask you and everyone at 215-592-9494, what do we got this year with our squad?
We have anger right now with, really, we're trying to decode what we are. I think we have frustration. I have frustration with just trying to figure out exactly who we are, the identity. Our coach was asked the identity yesterday. I don't know that he knows. Everyone's mad right now. But the bottom line is, I do believe this is a playoff team. When you cut through all of that emotion,
can I ask you one
dysfunction?
Let me ask you one question before you continue. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're a playoff team more because of what the Eagles are, or more because of what the NFC East or the NFC is? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I am becoming somewhat wary of the Commies. The Commies,
sure.
Geez. Their quarterback, their offense, their hurry-up approach to everything. That's exciting if you're a fan of the Commies. Yeah. It's not great.
No, it's
watching
not.
A young quarterback who just got there dial it up the way he is. I sure hope we have plans. Sure.
But I'll say this, even if Washington wins it,
division
9-8 like it did 3 years ago can get you to the playoffs.
I do you know believe I mean? We will figure things out to where we will be in. Yeah, we're a playoff team. I believe we have the talent to do damage in the playoffs. I don't know what we are yet, though, and that's what's frustrating. I know that Jalen is our guy, but you know Jalen is our quarterback. Last night, I had a chance to listen to a taping, Russillo's taping of. His thing that he does.
Ryan Russillo.
Ryan Russillo.
Nice, your buddy.
And it was Chris Long talking.
Oh, nice.
Chris
so you
Long,
were with them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
In Fishtown. And yeah. Chris Long was talking about the fact that everyone up in arms, like Jalen is our quarterback, and let's figure out a way to make it work.
Well, they have to. I mean, that's their only choice.
Exactly.
As of now, that's the only choice.
All this hubbub, you know, let's we got a buy going on right now. Our guy who is struggling with lots of new responsibilities right now from time to time. We're seeing the inconsistencies from week to week as he has a lot more that he's working through on every play. Jalen, our guy, who is going to be our guy this season. He's going to be our guy next season. Like, Jalen is the franchise. I do believe he'll continue to work. We've got to figure out, meaning, you know, us as an organization, they need to figure out a way to make it work better. They need to, Jalen and Kellen and Doug Nussmeier, his quarterback's coach, they need to figure out a way to make it work better than it has, because right now it looked like he took a step back this last week. And it appears as Jalen and Nick Sirianni have their moments and try to figure this offense out, there are other people who need to be working through that also.
Well,
they need to get better.
So they clearly
to
do.
Get where they want to go.
No, I get your point. And again, part of this today is really just to assess with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. If you think we got a playoff team this year, you know, why or why not? And just where you are with all of that. Let me just say this. Obviously, they can make the playoffs. That's clear. Okay? I mean, 3 years ago, they weren't a good team. They made it at 9-8. They got there because, you know, easy schedule and you know, they played better than they had the prior year and played good in the second half. Those kind of things have happened. We've seen a lot bigger turnarounds than the, call it, hole they're in right now. I mean, we've seen far bigger turnarounds.
Oh, my.
Far
Joe,
bigger.
They're going to come out of this bye, and they're going to go on a win streak.
So
I believe that based on the way those teams have looked thus far and just the fact that we will be coming out of a bye and a lot healthier right now. We played our last game without our three best players on
right.
offense.
Right. That last part's going to be big. I mean, obviously, they're a better team with AJ and Devontae and Lane. You know, look, I think there's two Eagles that are the ultimate keys. Like, I feel actually really confident that there's two Eagles that are the ultimate key to the season. The first, and it goes without saying, but I'll say it, is Jalen Hurts. You know, with everything John's saying about they got to figure it out with him, for him. he has to figure it. He has to figure it out.
No doubt.
Like, he really has, because I find
he's part of this. They're all a part of this.
Yeah, but I mean, he's like the main thing. You know, I can't fathom
he
Kellen Moore.
He needs to do better. Yeah. No question. Yeah. And I am worrying now about all those other things. Like, we thought he was Captain Intangible right. for the longest time.
Right.
Is he focused the way he needs to be on football the way he once was?
Well, there's that, and then there's just this question. Is he actually just good enough? So there's that. But here's the other. Let me tell you the other person that I think is the next ultimate key number two. It's Vic Fangio. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the offense is ultimately going to go based on how Jalen Hurts does his job or not. I think the defense is ultimate. Like, let me put it this way: I feel super confident of this. They are compromised defensively, personnel wise. I believe that. Now, I'm not saying they're as bad as they finished last year, personnel wise, because I think the defensive back should be much better. I think Quinyon Mitchell looks like a baller. They're not great. They may not even be average defensively. I don't think they are, personnel wise, but I think they're better than how they finished last year. I think, but they're not good. And they need the Midas touch from a coach who has pretty much seen it all in pro football over the last 40 years. There are times when coaches can make the sum of the parts do more than they would have done individually yes. or done with a different coach.
That's what good coaches do.
Larry Brown's an all-time example. The 0-1 Sixers, God bless all of them, and God bless Dikembe, of course, who passed away 2 days ago. Like, that team achieved more, not just because of Allen Iverson's greatness, but Larry Brown tapped into something that was one of the great coaching jobs I've ever seen. And he made them more than they otherwise would have been. This organization, us as a fan base, needs Vic Fangio to do that. Needs it. Needs it. Because their defense right now does not look good. And they need him to figure some stuff out. Now look, I'm not excusing defensive players. Guys got to play better. That's all obvious. But we'll take your thoughts on what do we have this year with the Birds. 215-592-9494.
I wonder. It crossed my mind. Jalen Hurts, 2022, we go back, we think how great he was right there neck and neck with Patrick Mahomes.
Sure was.
I told you those stats yesterday. You know, they're both sitting the same yardage this season. They've both accounted for 6 touchdowns. Yep. Jalen, 1 less turnover. You know, they're right there neck and neck. If Jalen had won a Super Bowl, if Jalen and this team had won, and it wasn't the Chiefs on those orbit motions mm-hmm. to getting the best of us, would you be doubting the veracity? Would you be doubting Jalen Hurts now? Like, there are quarterbacks who never get doubted, in part because of their past. Jalen, a second-round draft pick, doesn't have the first-round pedigree, mm-hmm. and he doesn't have the Super Bowl. If he did,
right? I understand.
How would if he All did? Right, can address, you put yourself? Can you put yourself in that position where you would yeah. say you'd still doubt him the way you do today?
All right. Let me address that next. All right. So let me just answer John's question, and then we'll get right to the phones. So how do I think I would look at this if the Eagles had won the Super Bowl, which clearly they could have 2 years ago? How would I look at the Jalen thing? So obviously it's impossible for me to know, but I tend to think I'd be just as critical, John, even though I'd be forever thrilled and appreciative of Jalen's role in helping the Eagles win a Super Bowl if that had happened. I mean, the town turned pretty fast, not this fast, but pretty fast on Carson, on Doug, yeah. and even a guy like Nick Foles who literally won the game. Like, he literally won the game. He was showing the door after a year.
Week-to-week proposition in the NFL, but I do think it would win some cachet.
Well, it gives you a little more grace.
He has too little cachet for the way he played once upon a time. And I'm telling you, the numbers, Mahomes, 6 total touchdowns this year, Hurts, 6 total touchdowns this year, and 1 less interception than Mahomes, and 26 more yards than Mahomes. They're neck and neck. And it's not been good enough. He's aware, they're aware, and they have to figure out a way to make it work better than it has, and I'm sure that they will.
All right,
I'm positive even if this team fails at this bye, even if they fail to restructure and organize and get better significantly, which I think they can do, they'll still have a great chance to win these next four games.
Well, all right. Let's go to the phones. Let's see what people think. There's so much happening here. Jason kicks us off. Jason, good morning.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Jason.
Jason, how's it going?
I'm good. And yourself?
Hey, Jason, do me a favor. Either get out of being underwater or get on a better phone. What's going on over there? All right, we're gonna.
I'm stuck on a bridge on 76. It's like bumper to bumper.
I got you, my man.
Oh, sorry about that.
And that affects the phone? No, yeah, I'm playing around. Jason, go ahead, man. I'm joking around. Go ahead.
In all reality, how about everybody's right on their take about the Eagles? Like, we have, like, a bad thing going. Jalen's bad. Coordinator's bad. Like, the coordinator's bad. Like, I feel like the coordinator's bad because we have Saquon, but yet we're still dependent on Jalen. So, Saquon touched the ball 13 times. And continue to throw the ball 30-something times when Jalen is the problem. Like, who's to blame here?
He's been a huge problem. There's no question about it.
There's no doubt. Like, that was a group problem, the not getting enough carries for Saquon in this last game. It's Kellen Moore. I mean, he admits he needs to get...
Throughout the whole season, I'm just saying, sorry about that. I'm just saying, like, throughout the whole season, like, we got Saquon for a reason. Like, all this workload thing, work management, we need to get him the ball. Like, we need to get him the football so he can run and, like...
Well, I mean, Jason, like, they're giving it to him a lot, man. I mean, look, prior to the last game, he was on pace for 511 touches. I don't know how much more you want him to have the ball. Last game, obviously, was less. But they were in a 24-0 hole. You know, and Jason, good call. Appreciate it. It was a fascinating conversation, fascinating question yesterday from Reuben Frank. Really interesting in one of the press conferences yesterday where he asked if you're down 24-0, but your best way to score this year has been Saquon Barkley ripping off a long run, shouldn't you basically still hand him the rock? I mean, it is interesting. I mean, you can make the case, and this is rare. You can make the case they in that game, especially without AJ and Devontae, literally have a better chance to score a 65-yard touchdown run than a 65-yard touchdown pass.
I feel that way about the run on many downs. Like, there, you've got a great chance if you would just hand it off. Like, you look at the way defenses play in today's world, man, they're playing the pass. Man.
Well, there's some of that, yeah.
Hand it off, and you will have success.
Hey, by the way, tomorrow, we hope to have success as we do a program from Chickies and Pete's tomorrow, our show from 6 to 10, Chickies and Pete's. Big WIP broadcast, 13 and a half hours from 6 a.m. till 7:30 p.m. All the shows down there at Chickies and Pete's celebrating the return of Red October. Special station announcement at 8:40. Guests will be sprinkled in through the show, including... Rob Thompson will be on the program tomorrow at 8 o'clock, so we look forward to that. It's a Red October rally, maybe even a pep rally, if you will. South Philly's Chickies and Pete's, 1526 Packer Avenue in South Philadelphia. Be there if you can. Certainly, if you cannot, listen to the show because we hope to bring you a great broadcast. All right, let's also bring you a great prize. How about Dane Cook tickets? How about your chance right now through this show to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Dane Cook with his fresh new flavor tour at the Met Philadelphia on October 12th. Tickets on sale for this, obviously, coming up just in 10 days. Tickets on sale, Ticketmaster.com. You can win them here today. How do you win them? Let me tell you how. First off, we mentioned that the movie The Martian, pretty good movie, Matt Damon, came out 9 years ago on this date. And it's a movie in which most of the scenes in the movie have only one actor in the scene. I mean, for the most part, it's Matt Damon up in outer space. Now you get a little bit of stuff. Down on Earth and blah, blah, blah. But basically, it's him doing solo scenes. We ask you this question today. Best scene ever in a movie, ever, ever, with only one actor in the scene. You can have an animal. Whoa. You can have a desk. You can have a plane. But it's like, it's a person.
Man.
It's a person that you see.
So all many right. classics.
So best answer is going to win the Dane Cook tickets. John, give me what you're thinking here.
I'm thinking 1990 with the Dumb and Dumber Lloyd Christmas too high bangs haircut. It's Mel Gibson doing Shakespeare.
What?
Mel Gibson doing Hamlet.
That sounds horrible.
To be or not to be.
That's like the last answer I expected.
I can't believe they let him do Hamlet.
That is the question!
I'm surprised. All right, Devin, give me an answer. Amazing. There's great only answer, one person in the scene. By the way, I'd say this. It can't be a cutaway where it's like 3 seconds. Like, it's got to be at least probably 10 or 15 seconds minimum, probably, maybe even longer. You know, we'll feel it out as we go. But Devin, a scene with one person.
Well, this is actually the majority of the movie, sticking with the space theme here. Sandra Bullock in Gravity, when she's like first just spinning endlessly through space. Oh,
that's
my God.
Terrifying.
It's so terrifying.
It's one of the most terrifying things of all time.
It's so anxiety-inducing, but she did such a great job in it.
All right, Seltzer, what are you thinking here?
Butch choosing the weapon in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, look, there's going to be biggies today. Rhea, wow. Give me what you got.
Devin stole mine, but
uh-oh.
I do have a backup.
Uh-oh. No way. Was it really the same one?
I did, and you know,
it's
I'm
such
not a
random one, girl.
I'm not a sci-fi person.
Never comes up on this show.
But I am a Sandra Bullock fan. So I'm going to go. Now, there is another person in there, but it's primarily Ned Beatty in Network. The 6 minutes where he's just saying about what, you know, the world is, and it's not nations, it's not this, it's corporations, it's an amazing scene.
It's prescient. All right, so there are so
many answers to go with. I'll throw this one in. Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill, he does the tuck. I mean, he's dancing around.
Hey, just remember. Do the tuck.
I mean, he's dancing around.
Is that a scene?
Yeah, it's
oh,
a scene.
Yeah, that's definitely a scene.
He's dancing.
Is it all the pretty horses playing?
The tuck scene?
Yeah, he takes a part of his body and puts it between his legs. It's very strange. I'm not advocating this at home, okay? It's a very strange scene. He's by himself.
You do bring this scene up an awful lot.
It is one of your favorite scenes.
It's a notable scene.
You say dance around the house, maybe.
Why do you bring it up as much as you do? I think that is advocation.
Advocation. All right. All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. Oh, is this the song from the Tuck?
This is the Tuck song.
Gotcha.
Goodbye, horses.
All right, so, James, I need a ruling from you. When CJGJ. When CJGJ yesterday on Instagram wrote the word damn, .. That's all he wrote. Was that in reaction to what Darius Slay had said in Michael Parsons' tweet? I mean, Michael Parsons' podcast.
That's a great question. I definitely got multiple people who sent me that tweet and were like, what's going on, man? And I don't know. Like, I think it's that, or I don't know if, like, he maybe got fined again or something like that, and we just don't know about it yet, was a thought,
or doesn't like the commentary on social media at him from fans. Devin, give me your ruling here. You're Miss Social Media.
Yeah, Devin's locked in on this
stuff. An Eagles player writes, damn, ..
Yeah.
Gut feeling. What's he talking about?
Well, when it's a player like CJGJ, who's very much online and very much not afraid to share
how he's
feeling. Possibly. I mean, he and Darius Slay could probably do well to just, like, you know, take a little social media break.
Yep.
Podcast break, too. So, yeah, I mean, I assumed it was about Slay.
I think so.
Rightfully so. I mean, Slay is his captain, and he kind of didn't. I don't think he said anything necessarily, like, awful about CJGJ, but he still should have stuck up for him more.
Stuck up for him more and just not joked about it. I mean,
yeah, like
it's like,
it's not funny. And the laughing and going on your rivals, your biggest rivals.
I know.
You just got waxed.
Yeah. He's a captain.
Not a great look.
So I was struck yesterday, Trey Thomas on Twitter. So Trey was obviously a phenomenal Eagle and a longtime Eagle. Here's what he tweeted yesterday. He said, man, I couldn't imagine Bobby Taylor, Troy Vincent, Lito Shepard, Sheldon Brown, or Al Harris going on DeMarcus Ware's MySpace live show to discuss Brian Dawkins' performance.
MySpace. No, but he's right.
DeMarcus Ware's MySpace live show was amazing. All right, guys, give it a little credit.
But you get his point. First off, Dawk probably wouldn't have messed up, so there would have been nothing to criticize, so to speak. But, like, I get his point. Listen, this is the first week where things started getting a little strange with the Eagles.
Start feeling like last year again.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff kicking around.
Those core values are taking a hit.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, no.
All right, by the way, let me tell you what we have on tap today, because we got a lot. Shil Kapadia joins us shortly. Also, AMA at 7, You Ask, We Answer. So get the questions in for some good, fun, creative questions. We'll answer those questions at 7 o'clock today. Also, in the 7 o'clock hour, you're going to hear portions of the interview we had yesterday with Nick Sirianni. We covered a lot of ground with the Eagles head coach. So Sirianni, what he said from yesterday, we'll play that coming up later, next hour. Also, Ross Tucker at 7:40. Also, Phil Martelli in studio with us at 8:40. I mean, pretty much the biggest Phillies fan I think we know. So we'll get Phil going on Red October as the Phils are about to crank it up. Plus, Mike Quick at 9:10. So needless to say, a lot happening here. Let me also tell you the Twitter poll questions of the day, because the Phillies need to make some real. Rob Thompson needs to make some really big decisions on issues related to his club. And we're going to post three of them right now. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all new three-row Chevrolet Traverse has arrived, and Armin has them in stock. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Question number one. Who should start game two of the NLDS for the Phillies? Aaron Nola or Christopher Sanchez? Know this. We don't know yet who they're going to play. We understand that. You know, who they're going to specifically play could affect who they choose to pitch. We all get that. But in the absence of that information right now, we ask you, who do you think should start game two, Nola or Sanchez? Second question. In the playoffs, who should be the starting second baseman against a left-handed starting pitcher? A, Edmundo Sosa, who got that start most times this year. B, Bryson Stott, who got it like a ton last year, but wasn't getting those starts this year. Who should start against the lefty? Third question. Who should start in center field against the left-handed pitcher? Brandon Marsh or Johan Rojas? Marsh doesn't hit lefties. Rojas doesn't hit anybody. Mm-hmm. Who should be their center fielder? All right. Some tasty questions to think about. Let's go to the phones. Patrick in Tabernacle, and obviously you can wait on the phone lines on those questions as well. Good morning, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Doing pretty well, Patrick. Yeah,
we're a little bit removed from that Eagles mess. I mean, we're talking about it, but at least, you know, the sting of the L isn't as real as it was Sunday night.
Yeah, listen, Seltzer's ready for the Phillies. I'll just leave it at that.
Hey,
the news. How you doing today, the news?
Hi, Patrick. Doing well. How are you?
Good, good. And real quick, PSA, I have a dog that just had both eyes removed because I know we're a bunch of dog owners here.
Oh, my
like,
God.
People,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and, like, she's doing wonderfully. It's
good.
It's really amazing. It's really
how old is your dog?
She's 13. Stella's her name. She had glaucoma. She lost, went blind real quick.
Wow.
And we were trying to hang on and, like, so don't give up on dogs, man, if you need to take your eyes out.
Well, we wish your dog the best.
Yeah, she's cool. She's
John,
cool.
Isn't that what happened to Oedipus? Am I remembering that right? Didn't Oedipus want to get with his mom?
Well, yes.
Greek tragedy, and when his eyes taken out?
I believe so. Okay. I think you're correct.
I don't remember
the eyeballs. He's not the family dog, Joe.
No, I understand that. I'm trying to get my Greek tragedy. I'm trying to remember, like, ninth grade.
I think
grade.
You're right about the eye thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick, what do you got? Phillies and Eagles, what do you got?
Phillies. Let's go Phillies, man, because I'm fired up here for some playoff baseball. And you know what's on my mind? Listen, Sanchez starting that third game is a tricky, just like that, you know, who are we going to do on the home? But, you know, more concerning to me is our cold bat syndrome. And I'm hoping that somebody off the bench, and I'm not laying this just on Cody Clemens, but I'm becoming a pretty good Cody Clemens fan.
Yeah, that's right.
We need someone off the bench in a critical time, not to, just to do something. It could be put the bat on the ball and play.
No question.
Do something.
Well, Patrick, I'll say this in Rob Thompson's defense for last year. I mean, look, he should have benched Rojas, clearly.
Yes.
But he didn't have great options. Let's not kid ourselves and act like the Phillies had a ton of options last year.
Joe, don't kid yourself. I think Rojas, you know, that was embarrassing.
It was.
You know, but listen.
He can make plays out there that no one else can.
Yeah, but he couldn't hit the ball. Like, he's a little better at it now.
He can hit it better than he could last year, and he can still make defensive plays no one
else
can.
Nobody else can hit the ball either at times. You know what I mean? Like, critical moments. Harper, all them guys went cold.
I know they did.
We need to stay away from those cold stretches.
All right, listen, I know. I know. All right, Patrick, give me an answer. A scene with one person in it.
Playing to the judges, John Ritchie. How about this? Woodstock, the movie. With our boy Jimmy lighting the guitar on fire during the Star Spangled Banner.
And they don't show anyone in the crowd or anyone behind him?
Nope, it's just him.
How long is that scene?
He didn't light his guitar at Woodstock.
That seems unfathomable. Is that possible?
Well, it's a documentary is the point. You know,
he didn't light it at Woodstock.
Well, how long though? After
yeah,
they
he didn't light it at Woodstock either. You're right.
All
so.
Right, well, then
he lit it at the Monterey Pop Festival.
Also, are we? Should we make a clarification, not documentary? Because we don't need, like, the moon landing in a documentary as a solo scene or something.
The moon landing's not a movie.
But there is a documentary about the moon landing in which they show that. That was a documentary.
Right,
the Woodstock. I'm saying no docs is what I'm saying. It should be something fictional.
Of course it's something fictional.
Well, that was not a fictional answer. That's my point.
Okay.
I'm trying to clarify.
I appreciate that. All right. Let's talk to Shiel Kapadia. Man, does he do great work covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League for The Ringer. Top notch, to say the least, which means better than the Eagles right now. Good morning, Shiel.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Shiel, what's it like to be, you know, better than the Eagles?
Well, I just told James, it's funny that a month ago everybody was excited for football, and now everyone's so happy that they don't have to watch this team this weekend, and we can just watch the Phillies. So the bye came at a perfect time for everybody's mental health.
You're not kidding. All right, so, Shiel, let's drill down here. You had a chance to review the film in the last game. Now, we'll broaden it out big picture as we move here, but just last game, Jalen Hurts, what stood out to you? As Jaws likes to say, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. It tells you what really happened out there when you see the All-22. What stood out to you about Jalen's performance?
Yeah, with Hurts, he's playing hesitant. He's playing indecisive. I mean, I think the two issues with Jalen Hurts this season and in this game, one is that he is turning down throws. Now, I don't want to make it sound like, oh, my gosh, they schemed it up and guys were wide open. But there are throws you see that you would say most quarterbacks are going to kind of pull the trigger and cut that loose. And give their player a shot there, and he's hesitant to do that so far this season to a pretty large degree. And so if you're going to play that way, it's sort of a conservative way to play, then you can't also have the turnovers. But he leads the league in fumbles. He's got 7 turnovers on the season. That's second most in the NFL. So he's just playing with a hesitancy right now, and you combine that with kind of the decision-making and the turnovers, and it hasn't been a good formula for her.
So, Shiel, I want to put both coordinators under the microscope with question 2. They're both starting to receive some criticism for different reasons. Do you think Kellen Moore, do you think Vic Fangio not holding up their end of the bargain, or is this more of a player issue?
It's a great question that I was just thinking about as I was watching the film. I'm going to put maybe more of the heat on Kellen Moore. I mean, I was watching this offense on Sunday, and I'm saying, I thought this was supposed to be different than last year. I mean, it looked very similar to last year. Remember before the season, we're saying, hey, they're going to sprinkle in some under-center play action. Well, they ranked 30th in the NFL. We said, hey, they're going to throw the middle of the field more. They rank last in the NFL using the middle of the field in their passing game. A lot of the passing concepts are the same. And so, this offensive scheme has been a disappointment to me so far this season. And then I watched the defense, and I'm not saying the defense has been perfect, but when I watched the film, a lot of it is one-on-one. Guys are losing, you know? And so the defensive coordinator, when Bryce Huff is on the ground within 1.5 seconds of the snap, I don't know what he's supposed to do. When Nolan Smith is getting blown up by a tight end on a run play, when, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is missing a tackle, I'm not saying none of that is on the defensive coordinator. Some of it is. But a lot of football is just one-on-one. Is your guy better than their guy? And on defense on Sunday, man, their guys were just getting beat one-on-one over and over again.
So the bottom line with Jalen, I guess the question, the million-dollar question, why is he turning it over now when he didn't turn it over for so long? And I felt like that was his greatest strength, Shiel. Like that was his superpower. That he was parsimonious with the football, and he was smart, and he was not going to give it away. And now suddenly, the last 12 games, we've failed to win the turnover battle because our quarterback continues to give it away. What has changed so dramatically? Can you get to the bottom of this in any way, Shiel?
It's a great question because you're right. We've seen the best versions of Jalen Hurts, and this has to be part of the formula. That he's going to take care of the football. You know, you have other guys in the NFL like Josh Allen is going to have a lot of turnovers, but what he does on all the other plays makes up for it. So it's not that big of a deal. I don't have a great answer for you. And again, it's not, I don't want to let him off the hook, but it is not all on Jalen Hurts. You know, you look at the fumble in this game and Grant Calcaterra can't get off a jam and then Saquon Barkley doesn't pick up the blitz and Jalen Hurts has to be better in that spot and he's got to take care of the football. But it is, you know, there are team-related issues here where he was under a lot of pressure in this game. So it's kind of like the whole mix is not working. But, yes, this is something we've seen him do well in the past, even last year. I thought he got unlucky with some of the turnovers. I didn't think they were all on him. But this year, just kind of that pocket presence, that pocket awareness, how much he's holding on to the ball. I mean, that's a part of it. He's holding on to the ball for like over 3 seconds on average every time he drops back. I mean, it's hard to play quarterback in the NFL that way.
And how much better is our O-line at run blocking compared to pass protecting?
I would say with the backups, there's no doubt about it. I mean, in this game, he was under, you know, a lot of pressure. That right side had a lot of issues. Mekhi Becton and specifically Fred Johnson. Obviously, you don't have Lane Johnson in there you're going to have a big drop off. So I think when Lane Johnson is healthy, I think there's, you know, I think for the most part, if you look at the four games overall, the offensive line has played well. But yes, when you have some injuries, there's no doubt that it's easier for those guys to run block.
So that's been another question. You know, why did it look like Jalen took a step back with pocket awareness? Shield, was it more just that there were more free hitters coming and you know, like guys, big guys up front were missing assignments and missing stunts and that sort of thing, so you had guys coming free? Or did his pocket awareness really take a hit?
Yeah, it's interesting because this wasn't, you know, we think of the previous games against the Bucs and Hurts' issues in the past, and we always say the blitz is what has given them a lot of problems. This wasn't like a heavy, heavy blitz game from Todd Bowles. They did a lot of stuff where they rushed four, but you didn't know which four were coming. And yeah, I do think in this game specifically, it was a combination where the offensive line was having those issues. I think in the previous games, I would probably say, you know what, the offensive line is pretty good. There's going to be a pressure here and there, and you've got to take care of the football here. But in this game, it was a combination of both those things.
Shield Kapadia with us, as he is every Wednesday at this time. Shield, let's talk a little bit more about the defense. You know, a phrase I like to say sometimes, my brain thinks in terms of, is this team needs this guy to do something. Like, they need Jalen Carter up front to be awesome. I think this team needs C.J. Gardner-Johnson to be an above-average player, because I just don't think they have enough good defensive players out there. But he hasn't been. What's going on with this guy? I mean, he's getting burnt. He's getting torched for touchdowns.
Yeah, no, he hasn't played well through the first 4 weeks. There's no doubt about it. It's not just the coverage. You know, to me, the missed tackles, I think Vic Fangio said they had 15 missed tackles in this game. I mean, the first possession, there's a play where Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's got to fire downhill and make the tackle there in the hole, and he just completely misses the tackle, and it turns into an explosive run. And so that's an issue. And then in coverage, yeah, you know, I'm not expecting him to win every time against a guy like Mike Evans in the red zone. But, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson does have a corner background. He played nickel earlier in his career with the Saints, and he wasn't even close there. So I don't know. I can't tell you what's going on, but I do agree with you that he's not playing well enough to kind of fill that safety void. When they signed him in the offseason, the player they thought they were getting, he hasn't played to that level.
So, Shield, either side of the football, coaching, wherever you want to take this, what is improvable in your opinion? Where is there hope that people listening can say, if they fix this, this, and this, my team can make the playoffs and maybe win the division?
I think offensively it really is health, and it, you know, that's going to be frustrating because you should be able to operate when guys are down, but those guys are going to come back. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson, and I think the offense will work. It might not be perfect. It might not be exactly what we want, but the offense is going to be better with those guys. And then defensively, if you look at it last year, Vic Fangio with the Dolphins, the first month of the season, they had one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and they improved big time as the season went on. So I do think schematically on defense, stuff like passing off routes, guys knowing their assignments, where they're supposed to be, those kinds of things are improvable from a coverage standpoint. My concern defensively is, like, what are you going to get out of a guy like Bryce Huff? Is the pass rush going to be good enough? Because it is hard for me to talk myself into this defense being above average if that pass rush is what we've seen so far. So I think they can get better from a coverage perspective, but the pass rush is just about guys playing better. That's not anything like about reps or anything like that.
Shill, did this game, without A.J. and Devontae, did it highlight our need for a new third wide receiver? I want to say, like, our wide receivers ended up with 40 yards receiving for the game, and theirs had, you know, 250 or something. Our WR3, is he good enough, or does Howie have work to do?
Yeah, I mean, he's had, you know, 500, 600-yard seasons in the past. He doesn't look unhealthy to me. It's not like he can't run. It's just, you know, what they're doing schematically in that game, I didn't see them do a whole lot to kind of call his number. And then there are, you know, at least one example of he's open and Jalen Hurts doesn't throw him the football, the one time where it looks like they did call his number. So I think they got to get on the same page. You know, when you make a trade like that before the season, you have to have a plan. What's it going to look like? And part of that plan had to be, hey, when one of our starters goes down, are we going to be able to use this guy? Is he going to be able to be productive? And he's been one of the least productive wide receivers in the NFL. So I don't necessarily put that all on Dotson. I think they need to get together and figure some things out. So, yeah, I don't know that bringing in another wide receiver would necessarily help that problem, especially when you're expecting A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith to get healthy after the bye.
Yeah, let's wrap on this one. Do you think Lurie and Howie made a mistake bringing Nick Sirianni back this year?
I do. You know, I felt that way in the offseason. I just thought this was kind of a weird experiment where you're taking a coach who's been to the Super Bowl, you're stripping him of all his power, you're hiring the coordinators for him. And so all these questions he's getting every week about, well, are you involved with this? Are you involved with that? What are you doing? I mean, that was going to be unavoidable. And so I understand why they did it. They felt like, all right, we like him personally. He's won a lot of games. Let's not, change this thing too quickly. But you look at the way the first 4 weeks have gone, and there's a long way to go. Maybe it'll turn around. But, you know, I sort of feel like they might be regretting that a little bit.
Yeah, they sure might be. All right, phenomenal stuff, Shiel. Again, everyone follow Shiel's work with The Ringer. It's great stuff. Shiel, we really appreciate you being a big part of the show. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys, go Phils. Take care.
You got it, man. Now, we'll be talking a lot of Phils with Shiel. He is a huge Phillies fan during this month of October.